arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Your Time with God in the Raw Ministries. Prophetess Dr. Charmaine Gilpaird from the Seventh-day Church of the Living God invites you to tap into this anointed hour. There is a powerful word that is...
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, where we left off last time. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. The Lord Jesus has left Peter with the assignment to get the church going, to be the first preacher of the first church. Now, all kinds of heathen and Gentiles were coming into the church, and that was good, because Jesus says, whosoever will may come. So Peter had a lot of rules to give to people. There were no rules about worshiping God. This was the first time Christianity was a religion. And so Peter is going to try to help them understand how to have a church service. And of course, we know the Apostle Paul wrote many epistles to help them. He said, the first thing that you want to do is don't forget the blood. You're bought with a price, not silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in Peter's time, the church was being built the first time. In our time, it needs to be rebuilt because the hedge has been torn down from around it, and the enemy has come in and destroyed our wine press and stolen the word. So to reform the church, the first thing we need to know is let's not forget the blood. The blood will never lose its power. When Jesus arose from the dead and Mary Magdalene saw him at the tomb, she ran to touch him, and he said, touch me not. It's a figure of speech, meaning don't hold me up, Mary. I must ascend to my Father and your Father and put my blood on the mercy seat. That blood on the mercy seat is right there, and for all time, forever and ever, will cover every sin for which is repented. And so the blood must never lose its power. And then he said, you're elect, and you want to make sure that you love one another. Remember that your enemy is a devil, not one another, Christian. And he encouraged the elect last week in verse 9. He said, you are a chosen people, your royal priesthood, you're in a holy nation. And he said, you're a peculiar people. It means you're one of a kind. You are just the only one of a type, one of a kind. Special, unique, that would be the word I was looking for. You are very unique. So now we pick it up, and we're going to read verse 10.
Who in times past were not a people, but now you are the people of God.
So Peter says, if you were not saved, he said, you really aren't a people. Because did you know that anyone who's not saved is actually dead? That's true, so you're not a people.
Having not obtained mercy, now you obtain mercy.
Now you're in the dispensation of grace. We are saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ.
Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain yourself from fleshly lust, which war against your soul.
Now, you know, earlier in chapter 1, he had mentioned that to the elect. In the world that then was, when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, we're going to be studying that by Peter in his second book pretty soon, when we get to 2 Peter. Sin entered in the equation, and most of God's children were in a spiritual body, followed Satan. But there was a small group there, justified then, Romans 8. But they've been sent out in every generation, a remnant, a group that God could trust. They would get the mystery of God. And so he says, remember that you're sent on an assignment. So for an elect, you weren't sent to this world to have a big house, a big job, a big money, a big car, a big name. You might even have some of those things. The main thing you were sent here for is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ, his word and his mystery out to as many people and bring them in from the fields of sin. That's your purpose. Now, it says fleshly lust. I think not too many elect, at least I hope not, have trouble with the fleshly lust. I hope you don't, pornography and things like that. But you can lust after having the biggest house in the neighborhood or being the richest person on the block. So you want to be really careful about that. In other words, don't get too attached to the things of the world. This world age is not your home. You're here on a mission, so let's get it done.
12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles.
Your conversation means your lifestyle. Conversation. Everybody say, conversation means my lifestyle. Conversation means my lifestyle. What he's saying, there are a lot of heathen that are just coming into the church, and they don't know how to act. And we're going to find, next week, that there are some prostitutes and things, they just got saved, and they don't even know they're supposed to stop being a prostitute. So he says, let your life just be such an example to people that they will see that you have a different way of life, and they'll want to have what you have.
As they speak against you as evildoers, they may behold your good works, they shall behold your good works, and glorify your Father in the day of visitation.
No wonder Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
13, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake.
What that means is everybody obey the laws. I always say obey the laws as long as it doesn't cause you to disobey God.
To the king as supreme. 14, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him.
Okay, in other words, the authorities might send a policeman out to bring law and order. That's what he's about to say. Some to punish and some not. Maybe police and needs to maybe arrest someone or stop a fight. And in other words, you have to respect them. Always respect the police. Be sure that you do that. Submit to laws of the land as much as
or unto the praise of them that do well. 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
A lot of times people who criticize you for being a Christian, if they see that you lead a steady lifestyle, that you're not wavering, that this thing is real, that you're honest and you're dependable and you're loyal, and even though you have troubles just like everybody else, that you keep on with a peaceful attitude, they're going to begin to notice there's something different about you, because see, they want that peace too.
16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak.
Don't use your liberty as a cloak. Now, just because you're an elect, make sure that you don't ever use it to lord over anyone. God gives us our gifts, and we're very grateful for these gifts. But you always want to be patient with people and help each one to develop their gifts.
Maliciousness, but as the servants of God.
As a servant. What you want to remember is the best way to keep humble there is you want to keep being a servant. I think all of you heard my Google. She said, yay, we made it. A little lightning storm here.
17, honor all men, love the brethren, fear the God.
Honor all men. James kind of mentioned that. He said, if someone comes into your worship assembly and is all dressed up nice and another comes in raggedy, show just as much respect to the raggedy. We do. We love the homeless here, and we love them and take care of them there. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart.
Honor the king.
Honor the king. Now, this would be the President of the United States for us. In other words, President Donald Trump was given to us by God. We had to fight 8 years of prayer all the time to get this where we are. And the country's beginning to turn around, praise God. Every Christian should, by law, by God's law, not man's law, by God's law. Pray for Donald Trump every day. Pray for his protection. May the Lord shamar him about, a Hebrew word meaning God be his hedge. The Lord perfect health, every part of his body working well, his youth and strength renewed as the eagles, the mind of Christ, the wisdom of a greater than Solomon, and his bones be made strong, and to be able to discern, be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves, and to have the Holy Spirit, and to recognize the Holy Spirit. God will use him. You pray for him. This is God's gift to us, so let's help him.
18, servants be subject unto your masters.
Servants be subject unto your masters. Now someone said, why, now you wait a minute, you lost me, Sherry, I'm not a slave. Wait a minute. You go to that job every day, and some of you say your boss is a slave driver, right? How blessed we are if we have good bosses, and I've had some good bosses, and I just loved working for them. I would just love their business just like it were my own and knock myself out and put my whole heart into it. And they were blessed and I was blessed. Let me tell you what to do about working. When you apply for a job or go to a company, make sure you understand what the company or that store or whatever it is all about. Find out the mission, find out the purpose of it, because some of our businesses, like my school, had a spiritual purpose incorporated with all the other good things that I taught. And so check that out. Then find out what your boss's purpose is. That find out how your boss feels about this. And what you do is you become an asset. You find ways that you can help, that you can make things better. And not don't just do just what you get paid for, do more. If you see a little extra things you could do, and it comes to you with, if the bosses will permit you, go ahead and do that. In other words, act like it's your own, and then who knows, someday maybe you will have your own. I know that's what happened to me. If you've got a cranky boss, what you do is just pray for them. You show up on time, you smile, you get your work done, you knock yourself out, you do every little extra things, and you're not snarky behind their back, you don't frown, you don't grumble, and you don't talk about your boss behind the back. And if you see your boss likes a 10 o'clock coffee, you go and get it for them. See, if you could So anything that we give out is going to come back to us. Just don't send anything back. Those good seeds of showing up on time, being dependable, and being cheerful, and no matter what they do, this is going to come back to bless your life.
With all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward.
What he's saying, there's sometimes some the government will send out, or the authorities will send out policemen, and they want to punish the bad guys, so that's good, they should. Always salute policemen, treat them with great respect. And when you see them in a restaurant over there with their family, go over and say thank you.
19, for this is thankworthy. If a man toward consciousness to God endure grief, suffer wrongly, verse 20, what glory is it? If when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye should take it patiently.
Okay, what he's saying here, pardon my machine's got a little growl in it. He's saying, okay, maybe on the job or in the relationship or in the church work you're doing, you actually did something wrong. Maybe you cost the business money, or maybe you hurt your mate's feelings, or maybe you messed up a church program or something, you know, got it all mixed up. So if there's a punishment for that, and just like sometimes in work they will, you know, take some out of your pay or something like that, maybe it's something you need to pay for, don't grumble about it. Take it pleasantly, and you'll just have to bear your punishment. In other words, there has to be a punishment for the mistake. So he said, but if you do that, nobody's going to think what a great guy you are. They're just going to feel sorry for you that you messed up. But what if you did good for the company, did good for the relationship, did good for the church, something really outstandingly wonderful, and then you got criticized for it and suffered for it? What will you do? You'll take that patiently too. So see, you don't have to say, I'm giving up on you people, you don't appreciate me at all. No, just take it patiently. God is watching.
But if, when you do well and suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God.
God accepts that.
Verse 21, for even hereunto we recall, for Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps.
Okay, once again, there's something wrong with my little machine there. It keeps doing that. We're going to get it straightened out in a few minutes. Even Jesus was suffered, and if you notice, he never raised his voice to them.
22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Verse 24.
You know, when they slapped Jesus on his face, when they blindfolded him, he could have called down 10,000 of angels. No, he just stood there for the joy set before me and went to the cross. Now, verse 24 is one of my verses. I have hundreds and hundreds of verses that I say every morning as I milk the cows and gather the eggs before I begin my 3-hour intercessory prayer time. As I kind of run around, I will have to start with scripture. I don't want to not have the word of God in my mouth. And this is one of them, and I love it, so I suggest you memorize it too. You should memorize lots of scripture.
His own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Past done. It's done. It's finished. By whose stripes? Modern scientists have discovered there are only 39 foundational diseases, that all other sicknesses stem from these 39 sicknesses and diseases. The Bible says Jesus took 40 stripes minus one, 39 stripes on his back. Isaiah prophesied this in Isaiah 53:5. So there you have it. Peter reminds us of that. He keeps our feet on the ground with the blood and our purpose here, and to be good to each other and to respect authority. And let's just get right back to what Jesus did at Calvary, the blood and the stripes.
25, but ye, as sheep, having gone astray, are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul.
And Jesus did all of that. He shed that blood and sent out the elect, and gives you some rules to get along in this land peaceably, and took the stripes so that you could go back to the sheepfold. See, when Satan rebelled in the world that then was, Peter's going to teach us that, 2 Peter 3:6 and so forth. We were all kind of cast out of the sheepfold. Even the elect who did not sin and were justified, Romans 8, had to be sent out in each generation so the Lord could have that remnant of light bearers and the very elect at the end on a mission. So we also missed that home. But see, now if you've been saved, really spiritually, you're back home now. As Psalm says, we're back in the sanctuary. It's in the secret place of the Most High. Now, some of you have not come home and back to the sheepfold, and the paws of the crushing bear of life are really hurting you, and the jaws of a ferocious lion are about to eat you up, and the bugs are driving you crazy, and so you just wish there was a good shepherd to come and pick you up and carry you safely and gently and love you, hold you. You can do that. You can do that. We're going to have the prayer of salvation before in a few minutes, and you can pray that. You can repent. You can receive what Jesus did and be saved. But many of you listening to me now, you are back home in the sheepfold, And you can say, as I say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness, surely mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We'll begin right there next week. Just a little tip check here, just a moment, please. Okay, well, it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What a great lesson. What a great teaching.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was a great word.
Okay, our first question today. What or who is Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit is God. He's just as much God as God the Father, God the Son. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." One God operating in three different offices. When Jesus left and went back up to heaven where he sits to make intercession for us, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Paraclete, the Comforter, to you." Holy Spirit is in us, walks beside us, knows everything about everything, guides us, and will guide us into all truth. He's our teacher, and you want to have a close relationship with him. He gives gifts, and he helps you and empowers you so that you can serve the Lord. Everybody needs the full baptism of the Holy Spirit, so seek and ye shall find.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, you know David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag, but ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for Scott's stuff.
The dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. As we experience this dimensional clash, destinies on both sides will be fulfilled at a quickening pace. The wheat and the tares are coming into full bloom, golden of our Father, black and poisonous of theirs. Woe to those who call evil for good, who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
That is so beautiful. Thank you very much, Scott Merson. God bless you. I'm going to pray for the sick, but before I do, if any of you are not saved, let's get you saved. Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive all of my sins.
Forgive all of my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
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 Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. So I invite you to call me and tell me that you were saved, and I will pray for you. Be sure to say your name very clearly there. Now, any of you who are sick, let me pray for you. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings. I ask, O Holy Ruach, the laser beams will go into the digestive system, into the stomach, and settle the nervous stomach. I ask that diabetic nerve pain be completely healed, the nerves be healed. I ask that nerves be unpinched and blood be purified. I ask that feet and legs stop burning. I ask that brain tumors go away from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. God bless you. I know somebody got that one, so feel free to call and tell me that also. Now, remember that Sundays we're here at 5 p.m. and you're invited, and Wednesday 6 p.m. Every Thursday, Scott and I meet here from 12 noon to 2 p.m. You may walk in and pray for us. Don't forget the radio program is also on the internet anytime you want it, WMIEFM.com on demand. I have lots of books, so study there. We love you. Now, remember that what you get is not yours to keep. You want to be sure that you give it away, so go and tell. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, with my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying, we love you. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I love you. God bless you. Until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Earn your way, hey, that's a lesson that we're taught. But I know things eternal can't be sold and can't be bought. Amazing grace is something I could never hold. And I know love and mercy are outside of my control. But I'm reminded of outside the city where heaven kissed the earth, because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy pouring over me, because of that grace I've been set free, because of you Jesus I have been redeemed. They can make it on their own, but only in the end to find they're really not that strong. But I believe, ooh, that if I choose to live by faith, that God will give me strength to make it each and every day. But we are lost without a Savior to save us from ourselves. For it's only by the grace of God.